2 Corinthians chapter number 4. 2 Corinthians and chapter number 4. Amen. Appreciate the songs. Amen. And sometimes I'll have a special besides the choir singing. Sometimes I don't. My message this morning, I'm not sure how short that it will be. And so I felt like it'd be right just to go ahead and go into the message, and hopefully it'll be a help to us all. We'll receive the word of God and get some strength from it. I want to look at verse number 1 of 2 Corinthians chapter 4, and I'm going to read verses 1 and 2, and then I'm going to skip to the end of the chapter, verses 16 through 18, all right? So verses 1 and 2, we'll read it responsibly and then jump down to 16 and pick up reading there. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. And verse number 1, therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not, but have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. Now, what I'm particularly interested in is verse number 1, that last phrase, he said, we faint not. Look at verse 16. For the which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory, while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. And Brother Hurford, would you lead us in prayer, please? Yes. Thank you, Lord. Yes. Yes. Truly blessed. Thank you, Lord. Yes. 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 Amen. Amen. Thank you for standing. You can be seated. Thank you, brother, for that prayer. I'm focusing on that phrase, we faint not. My title for my message is Don't Lose Heart. Don't lose heart. Now, a lot of reason why that we would need to preach along these lines and think along these lines, one of them being just primarily this fact, we're living in a hurting world. Yeah, a lot of people are hurting today. A lot of people have a lot of different problems. It's a world of death. It's a world of disease. It's a world of departure. It's a world of divorce. It's a world of discouragement. It's a world of desertion. It's just all kinds of problems in this dark world we're living in. A lot of people are upset, and rightly so. And part of the reason, by the way, for us coming to church is to get out of all that. I think that's one of the great blessings of people that are faithful to church, that go to church on Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night, particularly those that have a regular schedule, even if it's just a Sunday morning schedule, if you've got a schedule of being in church, you at least have that part of your life that you're not in the darkness, you're not surrounded by the darkness, you're not concentrating on the darkness. Unless, of course, the preacher's preaching about the darkness.
But seriously, it gives us a reprieve from all that that's pressing upon us so much. And that's what church ought to be. Now, I put in the bulletin today that verse in Psalm 149, verse 1. He talks about praising, singing praises to God and praising Him in the congregation of the Lord. And I believe that we don't come just to get away. We come to worship. But in that worship, we have a reprieve from the pressures of the battle. At least a momentary reprieve from that. And I think it's good that we can do that. So I talk about coming to church. Now, I could ask questions, but I would suspect nobody came to church this morning hoping somebody just bust your bubble. Hoping somebody would sing something that just broke your heart. Or say something that just upset you terribly. Or preach something that made you feel depressed. No, matter of fact, you probably came to church hoping somebody would say something, sing something, or preach something that would encourage you. That would cause you to want to go on for the glory of God, right? Well, Paul's writing this to the Corinthians. He's coming really in the beginning of this second letter, which is actually the third letter that he's written to the Corinthians. But he's writing to them an encouragement after he has rebuked them. You know, that first letter was a strong rebuke. Now he's coming with some encouraging words to them. And he's reminding them that we don't have to lose heart. We don't have to faint. Even though we're surrounded by darkness, even though we're surrounded by depression, even though we're surrounded by all kinds of stuff going on, we don't have to faint. Amen. And Paul is plugging that in these verses. Verse number 16, I believe he lets us know he's found the secret to not fainting or not losing heart. That word faint there in verse number 16 is Strong's number 1573. You look it up, it means to be bad or weak. That is, by implication, to fail in heart. When somebody is faint, we talk about, well, they fainted, but I'm not talking about fainted dead away. I'm talking about they just feel faint. You know what they're saying? I feel weak. I feel I've been there. You have too, probably at some times, but when you just feel, disconcerted, you just know something's not exactly right and your body's telling you something's not exactly right and you're weak. And people feel that way, and that's in heart. We can get that way in our heart. We can lose our encouragement, we can lose our zeal, we can lose our joy if we're not careful in these things of serving the Lord. So this word that's translated faint here in verse number 16 is found six times in our King James Bible. Four of those times is translated faint. Two of those times is translated weary. But I looked them all up, and I'm not going to read them to you this morning. I didn't jot them all down, but every single one of them, it has a negative. Not. We faint not. Or be not weary in well doing. That's where it's found. Both times it's the word weary is a phrase. Be not weary in well doing. Amen. And so it's not to faint. And so my desire is to look at these verses that are before us, particularly verses 16, 17, and 18, and expound to you, if I can, some things that I believe that Paul shows us here that might keep us from fainting and help us not to faint. Now, it's 3 points as I look at these three verses. First of all, this is an incredible statement. He says in verse number 16, the first phrase, "For which cause we faint not." Now, you know, if you've studied the life of the Apostle Paul, you know that Paul was not a man that gave up easily. Even when he was a sinner, he didn't give up easily. But when he got saved, he had even more reason to be dogmatic. He had even more reason to be zealous, and he did not give up easily. Matter of fact, he had learned not to lose heart, not to give up, even though he was completely surrounded by insurmountable obstacles, seemed to face insurmountable odds, extremely little encouragement and extremely hostile situations, and yet Paul did not faint. Amen. He never fainted. Now, not that he had never. He's not saying here that he had never, but that he's learned how. Matter of fact, notice these verses, "For which cause we faint not," that's present tense. That's active voice. He's not talking about, "I didn't faint." He says, I don't. I'm not fainting. Amen. He's simply saying that he does not lose heart. He's not bragging about that. He's just stating the fact that God had strengthened him to the point that he did not have to lose heart. Amen. Brother Johnny, could you turn those fans on? I'm sweating like a stuck pig on election day. Amen. Amen. So, he did not lose heart. I say this about Paul. Let me just look at it this way. Somebody might say, yeah, but Paul had an easy life. Really? You ever studied about Paul's life? Right here in chapter, in 2 Corinthians, he tells us a little bit. Look back at chapter number 1. He tells us just a smidgen of what his life's been like. I'm not going to read a lot of verses, but we'll look at these right here. And I've got some other verses we'll allude to as we go along in the sermon, but we'll try to stay close by here as far as turning. Paul, I'll just say this before I get to that verse. Verse number 8 of chapter number 1. Paul's life was anything but easy. Look at verse number 8. For we would not, brethren, have you ignorant of our trouble, which came to us in Asia, that we were pressed out of measure. You see that? That's not just a little trouble. Paul's not talking about an ingrown toenail or a hangnail. Paul's talking about major problems. Pressed out of measure. And then to add to that, he said, above strength. Insomuch that we despaired even of life. Paul said we got to the point we didn't know if we was going to live. We didn't think we was going to make it. We was pressed beyond measure. In other words, on a scale of 1 to 10, what's your pain? Paul said, I'm off the scale. Beyond measure. But he said, and then above strength, beyond what I could maintain myself. Beyond what I could do in myself. Insomuch that we despaired from life. Look at chapter number 11 of 2 Corinthians. He gives us a little bit more detail. Chapter 11. Paul had troubles, major troubles, and yet Paul didn't despair. Look at verse number 23. Are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool, I am more. Now, what he's talking about here, Paul said it'd be foolish to boast, and I'm not boasting, but I'm just saying, if they're a minister of Christ, I am in labors more abundant, in stripes above measure. Can't count how many stripes he's had. In prisons more frequent. In deaths oft, of the Jews 5 times received I 40 stripes save one. Thrice was I beaten with rods. By the way, that 5 times received 40 stripes save one. They weren't allowed to give them over 40 stripes, so they would try to limit it to 39. They would hit them 39 licks, which would usually a man would lose conscience within that time. Paul had that happen to him 5 different times in his life. Thrice, 3 times, he said, I was beaten with rods. Once, I was stoned, and I believe that's when he was drug outside the city and left for dead. Thrice, I suffered shipwreck. A day and a night, I have been in the deep. In journeyings often, in perils of water, in perils of robbers, in perils by mine own countrymen, in perils by the heathen, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the deep, in perils among false brethren, in weariness and painfulness, in watchings often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness. Besides those things that are without, that which cometh upon me daily, the care of all the churches. Paul said, I've had all this attack from the outside, but then I got a heavy heart from the inside too. I got all these enemies attacking me, but I've also got all these people I'm concerned about and I'm responsible for. And he says in verse number 29, who is weak? And I am not weak. Who is offended? And I burn not. So I'm just simply saying that Paul had a lot of trials, tribulations, temptations, discouragements. Paul had a lot of burdens. And yet Paul was able to say, we faint not. Paul was able to say, I don't lose heart. Amen. Now again, I say this is not the same as never being discouraged. and never being depressed. But it's simply saying that he never gave in to those thoughts. He never gave up hope in the Lord. Amen. Amen. I'm talking about Paul. You remember David? David said this about discouragement. David said in Psalm 45, I believe it is, David said that I just wish I had wings, that I could fly away from it all. You ever felt that way? I just wish I could get away from everything. But you can't. Now, momentarily you can. And by the way, those momentary escapes, those, we call them vacations, can be a blessing. But God didn't give us wings. Because he don't want us running from our problems. He don't want us flying away from them. He wants us to face them. Deal with them. Get over them. Amen. Amen. So Paul is telling us that even when he was loaded down, even when he was overloaded with discouragement, he never lost hope in God. He never lost faith in Jesus. And yet he believed, and this is what I believe he believed, Romans 8:28. He believed that God was working all this for our good and for his honor. That's an incredible statement. Secondly, I want to talk about a familiar struggle. It's not only an incredible statement, it's a familiar struggle. He said, look at it again in verse number, I'm in chapter 4, verse number 16, for which cause we faint not, and here's my phrase, but though our outward man perish, that's a common struggle for all of us. Amen. Common struggle for all of us. Our outward man is perishing. I'm 57, I'll be 58 this month. And I don't jump out of bed like I did when I was 18. I get up, oh, yeah. And I don't move like I did when I was younger. You know why? Because this outward man is perishing. Now, I ain't old and decrepit. I'm about middle age if I live to be 116. Amen. And I have hope. Amen. But I'm just simply saying this. Everybody goes through this. We're living in a day when people have problems and they think, I'm the only one that ever has problems. Nope. It's common to man. It's common. Now, you may have a problem I've never had. I may have a problem you've never had. But every one of us, anything we've ever faced, somebody else has faced that. Somebody else is facing that. Right? And in a lot of cases, just to be honest with you, a lot of things that people moan and groan about, other people are going on with worse than that and not grumbling. God relieve us from this grumbling generation we're living in. Amen. We've got more medications in America than we've ever had and more grumbling than we've ever had. That ain't my message, but that's truth. Amen. I'm trying to encourage you, but in that I got to slap you around a little bit. Tell you, quit you complaining. Amen. But seriously, this common fact that our outward man is perishing, our body. Now here's what he's telling us. When we allow our mind's not part of our outward man, by the way. Our mind's our inner self. But when we allow our mind to focus on our outward man, our physical existence, for example, we see that it's perishing. Things are being stripped away from it. And you know what it does? It strips away our joy. It strips away our hope and our peace of heart or our peace of mind. Amen. Our bodies are aging. They're decaying. Our world is crumbling and decaying. Amen. If we focus on that, that cannot do anything but bring discouragement. That's one of the reasons why a 24-hour news cycle is not good for the mentality of people. All you hear is bad news, bad news, bad news, bad news. And that's not good for the psyche of people. Amen. It's sad today. I was talking to the men when we were getting ready to go visiting Thursday. I was talking to some of the men that was in there and talking about the fact that, was talking about music, and a man made this statement recently, but that music back in the day, I'll say back when I was a teenager and some of y'all was teenagers, back in the day, songs were about love. Even rock songs were about love. Now they're about hate. I don't know if you can find a song about love. Not even in country music. Country music's about hate. Hating the job I'm working, hating the taxes I'm paying, hating the life I'm living. Our whole world's full of hate. And if all you do is fill your mind with hate, you're going to have a miserable life. You're going to become a miserable person. I tell you, unplug from some of that. Amen. Listen to WSOF radio. We don't play that mess. Amen. Amen. That's just another plug there. If we focus on that though, all it can do is make us discouraged. The Greek word translated perish here in verse number 16 is Strong's number 1311. Here's what it means, to rot thoroughly. This body is rotten. Rotting thoroughly. That is, by implication, to ruin. Passively, to decay utterly, or figuratively, to pervert. This word is also found 6 times in the King James New Testament, and is translated destroy twice. It's translated corrupt, corrupteth, destroyed, and perish right here in our text. It's translated perish. So, I'm thinking about some of these words. I'm not going to have you turn to these. I'm just going to read you some of these. I'll have you look at some, but Luke chapter number 12 and verse 33, our Lord used that word that is here translated perish. He said, sell that you have and give alms. Provide yourselves bags which wax not old, a treasure in heaven that faileth not, where no thief approacheth, neither moth corrupteth. That word, corrupteth. Now here's the idea that if you can see the way our Lord used that, moths can eat clothing. It must have been, a lot of people must have a lot of moths. I mean, eats the legs right out of their britches. Amen. Anyway, I better leave that alone. But moths eat clothing. And here's what he's saying. Just like this old body's being eaten away. Age eats on the body. Life eats on the body. It's happening. Amen. Revelation chapter number 8 and verse number 8 and 9. Again, these words are said. It said the second angel sounded. And as it were, a great mountain burning with fire was cast into the sea. And a third part of the sea became blood. And a third part of the creatures which were in the sea and had life died. And the third part of the ships were destroyed. That word destroyed, I underline it. That word destroyed is the same word translated here, perish. So just like this star fell out of heaven, or this mountain fell out of heaven, was cast into the sea and destroyed. You know what it did? It capsized. It sunk. A third part of the ships. Yeah. And so he's saying, our outward man is about to be sunk. Our outward man springs leaks. Our outward man can be capsized. Amen. We live in a corruptible body that is corrupting naturally. It does happen. As you get older, your skin gets thinner. Not necessarily everything, but it gets thinner. You bruise easier. You heal slower. All kinds of these. It's just natural. In a corruptible body that is corrupting naturally. In other words, we are physically decaying because we have an appointment with death. It's an appointment. Now, if all you did was think on that, you could be very discouraged. And Paul said here, he said, I don't get discouraged. Or I don't give in, I don't lose heart, I don't give in to it. How, with this incredible statement, but yet this familiar setting that we see right here, that we're all decaying, how does he keep, here's how he keeps from falling prey to that, he don't focus on that outward man. Amen. I'll say more about that as we go along. But this outward man is destroyed by pain and problems and burdens and trials that are thrown against it on a regular basis. Again, we live in a corruptible body that is corrupted. Another thing that can cause us to lose hope is this outward look. When I look at other people, sometimes I get discouraged, don't you? It's discouraging to hear about a man that gets drunk and wrecks his automobile. It's discouraging to hear about somebody that shoots up a neighborhood and kills people. Yeah. It's discouraging to hear the news and things that's going on. It's discouraging to hear about preachers that have fallen in sin. Or just Christians that have fallen in sin. People that we know, and many of us, it is people that we know that had once served God and seemed to serve Him with zeal, and they got colder and colder, and finally they just fell off the map. Plumb out of church. And that's discouraging. You know why? Because we're looking at the outward man. The outward man is corrupted. So as outward men around us, people will let you down. Amen. They'll let you down. They'll sink your ship. They corrupt. They go bad. It happens. It happens. Paul experienced this himself. Look at chapter 4. It was 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 8 through 10. I didn't read these, but I want to read them to you now. Paul says, "We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life of Jesus might be made manifest in our body." Amen. So even the great apostle Paul faced discouragement, but he did not allow himself to give in to it. Amen. He faced discouraging things, but he didn't lose heart. Paul knew, I said, we know people that have walked away from God. Paul knew people like that. Remember what he said coming down to the end of his life? He said, "Demas hath forsaken me." I believe it's the book of Colossians. There's about three different letters Paul wrote where he recommends Demas. He does them in Timothy's writings too. But he recommends Demas as a co-laborer, a fellow laborer. But then down at the end, Demas loved this present world, turned around and went back. Paul understood those disappointments. Amen. He knew not only they turned their back on God, they turned their back on Paul. He knew people that had forsaken him. They had disappointed Paul, but he didn't give in to their evil example. Here's what a lot of people say. Well, everybody's quitting on church. I guess I might as well quit too. What? That doesn't make any sense. Well, nobody's living for God. I don't guess there's any reason for me to try to live for God. Why? Paul had disappointments, but he didn't give in to those disappointments. Amen. He did not give up and go follow their evil example. Matter of fact, Paul kept going. Amen. Amen. Now, my point here is that troubles and trials are familiar to us. We all face them. But we don't have to side with the quitter. Amen. We don't have to side with the quitter. We can side with the ones that just go on. Amen. Amen. You can give in and quit, or you can press on in spite of the quitters and in spite of the pain. Amen. My last point is this. Paul, I said he made a wonderful statement. Tremendous statement there. He made this familiar. We understand this familiar situation. And then the last one, it's a wonderful secret. It's a wonderful secret. And it's involved in the last part of verse number 16 and all of 17 and 18. So I'm going to tie these together. He says, I'll read it. We read the first part. "For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish." Now here's where we pick up. "Yet the inward man is renewed day by day." There's how you don't have to give in to it. If you'll renew the inward man day by day. "For our light affliction," verse 17, "which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory, while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal." Amen. And so we need to come to the place that Paul was at when Paul wrote these verses inspired by the Holy Ghost. Amen. Paul came to at least three important conclusions that I'm going to use here in this point. Three important conclusions. First of all, A, Paul noticed that God's children are given fresh strength on a daily basis. Amen. For which cause, verse 16, we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. God does that for his children. Amen. God gives you renewed strength if you'll accept it. Just like he dropped manna out of heaven, but he don't force it down your throat. There's got to be some gathering. There's got to be some seeking. There's got to be some applying. Amen. Now those children of Israel wandering in the wilderness, some manna coming down out of heaven. They couldn't glory that they made the manna, no. But they'd starve to death if they didn't go out and gather it. Amen. If they didn't make a meal out of it and put it in their body, they'd starve to death. God's children are given fresh strength every day. I believe that's right. Paul reminds us that at the same time, while our outward man is perishing, it perishes every day. As it is perishing, God gives the inward man renewed strength day by day. The Christian's not to focus on that outward man. He's to focus on the inward man. He's to keep a close eye. Solomon said this in Proverbs 4:23. Guard thy heart, for out of it are the issues of life. You know what he's saying? Focus on the inner man. Don't get your eyes just on the outward man. A lot of young men, now listen, a lot of young men get their focus on the outward man. They're going to go to the gym and they're going to work out and they're going to get healthy and they're going to be something else. And they mess up because they don't pay attention to that inner man. They wind up in sin. They wind up in a mess. Now, maybe they're going to go out and they're going to work and they're going to provide and they're going to store up and they're going to have all these goods. But they're focusing on the outer man. The outward man. Not on the inward man. And they lose their focus and it messes them up. Jesus said in Matthew chapter number 6 verse 25. The words of Jesus said, therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life. What ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body what ye shall put on. Is not the life more than meat and the body than raiment? Jesus is saying there's things more important than the outer man. He says later on there in Matthew 6 verse 33 and 34, these famous verses, Jesus said, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for the morrow, for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. Amen. Take your Bible, turn back to the book of Lamentations. That's not real easy, but this will be good for you. Blow the dust out of it and get over there to the book of Lamentations. A little bitty book right there in the major prophets, right between Jeremiah and Ezekiel. Lamentations, you know, I'm sure you know that the title is from the context. The context, a lamentation is a weeping. It's a mournful cry. These lamentations, there's five chapters of them, and all of these chapters have 22 verses. But chapter 3 has 66. 1 and 2 has 22. By the way, there's 22 letters in the Hebrew alphabet, and each of these verses deal with a letter from that alphabet. First two chapters, last two chapters. Grieving, grieving, grieving. But you come to chapter 3, and he has an extra long, three times as long as the others. And when you start up there at verse number 21, I could start with 22, it would work. But look at verse number 21. He says, this I recall to my mind. Therefore I have hope. I'm going to stop just a minute and say this. Brother Kirkman touched on this verse when he was here back in February. But your mind, what you think on, will determine your attitude. What you think on and concentrate on and flood your mind with is going to determine whether you have hope or not. I read it again. This I recall to my mind, therefore I have hope. If you think right, you can have hope. Verse 22. It is of the Lord's mercies that we're not consumed. We can stop right there and say hallelujah to God. Amen. It is of the Lord's mercies we're not consumed. It could be a lot worse. That's what he's saying. Amen. Listen, I know times are bad. I could say a lot of things and run a lot of rabbits here, but just let me do it this way. Stopped at the gas station last night to gas up for today. I think it costs the most it's cost in a long time to fill that car up with gas. You go to the grocery store, and $100 of groceries can fit in one little sack now. At least seems like it. You look at all these, and we say, oh, it's terrible in America, but we're not in the gulags. Amen. The jackboot's not on our neck yet. Right? In other words, it could be worse. It could be worse. It is of the Lord's mercies that we're not consumed. It's not because we're so good. It's because He's so good. Why we're not destroyed already. It's because He's so good. It is of the Lord's mercies that we're not consumed because His compassions fail not. Look at this. They are new every morning. Amen. And then that song she was playing in the offertory. Great is thy faithfulness. That's the phrase right here that song came from. God's mercies are new every morning. Day by day you can be renewed in your spirit. Verse number 24. The Lord is my portion, saith my soul, therefore will I hope in Him. The Lord is good unto them that wait for Him, to the soul that seeketh Him. It is good that a man should both hope and quietly wait for the salvation of the Lord. Amen. I'll stop right there. But you read those in that extra long lamentation. He finds some hope. You know why? Because he starts thinking right. Gets his mind off all these outward troubles and says, you know, it's just of the Lord's mercies that we're not consumed. His mercies are new every morning. He gets to bragging on the goodness of God. Amen. The Old Testament people of God had a promise in Deuteronomy chapter number 33, verse 25. The last phrase of that said, as thy days, so shall thy strength be. Amen. We sing songs that have phrases like that in as well. 2 Corinthians, if you want to turn back there, chapter 12 and verse number 9. Paul's been talking about this thorn in the flesh, that this messenger of Satan. It wasn't just a hangnail. This was a demonic power working on him. Paul prayed about it 3 times, asked God to remove it. God said no. Look at verse number 9, chapter 12, 2 Corinthians. And he said unto me, y'all to underline these words, my grace is sufficient for thee. For my strength is made perfect in weakness. Amen. I'll stop there. Paul goes on to talk about what his opinion is, that I'm just going to rejoice in my troubles. I'm just going to glory in my troubles. But Paul said, this is what God said to me. My grace is sufficient. That's why Paul didn't faint. When he is surrounded by trouble, when he was overwhelmed with trouble, Paul didn't faint because he knew God's strength was made perfect in weakness. So I say again, the Christian, God's people, can be renewed. The inner man can be renewed day by day. Now these are not promises of strength for today, that we get all the strength we need today and it'll last forever. But this is strength for as your day is, so shall your strength be. In other words, grace for today. I ain't got grace for tomorrow yet, but I don't need it yet. When I get there, it'll be there. That's what he's talking about. Amen. The grace as you need it. In other words, it's strength that is promised to be available every day. That's why he could say, and he says it here to the Corinthians, that's why he could say that no temptation hath taken you but such as is common to man, but God is faithful in that with the temptation, he will also give a way of escape. In other words, nobody ever fell into a temptation that couldn't help it. Nobody. They could have helped it. That's what he's saying. God made a way of escape. You don't have to give in to despair. You don't have to. There's strength available if you'll tap into it. Amen. Amen. Now, this idea here, he's not saying we get some one-time quick fix for all of our situations forever. No, he's talking about we got to look to Jesus every day. Amen. We got to look to Jesus every day. We got to keep God on our mind. Amen. Every day. We got to call on God every day. That's why we pray for our daily bread. We're dependent on God day by day. That's what he's talking about. Amen. Amen. If we'll walk with God, if we'll daily read our Bibles, if we'll daily pray, we'll find that God will give us fresh fuel in our tank. Amen. God will give us fresh food on our spiritual table. He can even set a table in the presence of our enemies. Right in the midst of trouble, God can prepare a table. Amen. And feed us bountifully. Amen. So, here's the thought. I'm getting ready to move to the last part of this last part. With this fresh fuel and fresh food available, why do some Christians faint? Why do some Christians quit on God? They burn out. They faint when troubles come. I'm going to tell you why. Because somewhere along the way, they fail to daily renew their inner man. They fail to take heed, to take in that food that he has given them, that fuel that he has given them. Amen. They fail to make daily investments in this spiritual life, renewing the inner man day by day. Amen. Here's what they do. If they quit on God, here's what they do. They'll either quit church or at least slack up on it. They'll either quit Bible reading or at least slack up on it. They'll either quit praying or at least slack up on it. But they don't quit feeding this body that's perishing. They just quit feeding the inner man that needs to be renewed day by day. Yeah. They'll still put fuel in their car, run where they want to go. They're not putting fuel in their soul to keep on running this race for Jesus. Amen. God help us. God help us. So he said, God's people have a renewing day by day. The second thing we see here, Paul learned a second secret, I believe it's good, is that nothing in this life will last forever. I'm in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse number 17. For our light affliction. Now you can't say that unless you say the rest of it. Which is but for a moment. When they stoned in Paul, that wasn't a light affliction. But the fact that it only lasted a moment made it a light affliction. Amen. When they was beating him with rods, when they was scourging him with the whips, that wasn't a light affliction in the moment. But when he realized it only lasts for a moment, it is but for a moment. Now, when I say light afflictions, don't think that Paul's saying these are not real troubles. And sometimes people have a problem with that because, for example, they'll come talk to the preacher about their problem or they'll talk to somebody else about their problem. And maybe whoever they're talking about doesn't seem to count it as serious, doesn't see it as serious as they see it. Doesn't seem as affected as they feel affected by that particular situation. Well, that's true. Maybe we're not. Maybe we don't see it like you see it. Or maybe we're not able to enter into those feelings. But that doesn't mean it's not real. When he said these are light afflictions, here's what he's saying. Compared to the glory that's waiting over yonder. Whatever we face down here is going to be minor. Amen. When we look at, if we'll quit looking at this outward affliction and we'll quit looking at this outward body and we'll look to that inner man and we'll look to that heavenly city and we'll look to the hope that lies within us, we can say these are light afflictions. Amen. Amen. Paul talks about in Romans chapter 8 verse 18. He says, for I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. Amen. He says here in verse number 17, he talks about an eternal weight of glory. Amen. These troubles are just for a moment. But the glory is forever. These troubles, these afflictions are just light. But the glory is a weighty, an eternal weight of glory. Amen. Amen. So, nothing we face in this life will last forever. Nothing we face here is worthy to be compared to the glory that we will experience when we step off on that other shore. Our problem is we hear that, but we really don't believe it. Amen. I'll give you an illustration. They said that in a prayer meeting somewhere, the preacher got up and he said, "Well, old brother, our good brother so-and-so that's been struggling with his physical problems passed away this week." And everybody in the church said, "Oh," except one little girl said, "Good." Mama probably wanted to whip her for saying good. But really? If he left these troubles and went to glory, why should we say, "Oh"? Why shouldn't we say, "Good"? Now, I know you might offend family. I understand all that. But my point is that we have our focus in the wrong direction. Really, we do. That's why the Bible said we ought to mourn when a baby is born and we ought to rejoice when a saint passes on. Amen. We got it backwards. We rejoice when a baby is born. I'm not saying we shouldn't rejoice, but we also ought to realize he's going to face some things. But those that have gone on, they're through with it. Amen. Here's what we hear it, but we don't believe it. Here's what we believe what we see. We believe what we feel. We believe what we hear on the news. You know why? Because we got our eyes on the here and now. And Paul's trying to tell these Corinthians, get your eyes off of the here and now. Get your eyes over on that other shore. Amen. Paul had his eyes on the then and there. Amen. 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 Paul recognized that everything in this world is temporal. Temporary. We're only here for a short time. These troubles will come to pass. That's what he's talking about. Amen. Everything here will come to pass in a short time, matter of fact. The things that we see right now are passing, but the things that are over there are eternal. We may suffer for a while down here, but we can rejoice forever over there, is what he's talking about. Amen. The secret to not faint, the secret to not lose heart, is to maintain a proper perspective on things. When God allowed me to see this several years ago, it helped me tremendously, particularly in trying to counsel people and trying to help people in problems. It's important not to just look at it through your glasses, but try to look at it through somebody else's. When they're telling you a problem, put yourself in their shoes. Amen. Here's one when it really came heavy on me, several years ago now. My brother's oldest daughter is lost. She's still lost. And matter of fact, we don't even know where she's at now. They don't know where she's at 95% of the time. But I remember my brother came down to the altar and was praying for his daughter. And I went down to pray with him. And while I was there praying with him, I felt like God nudged my heart and said, "You ought to pray for his daughter like it was yours. Because I got a daughter. And I'd hate for her to be out like that." And I asked God to help me see it from his perspective. Perspective means a lot, by the way. Paul's saying here, get on God's perspective. Look at it like God's looking at it. Quit looking at it like the news media is looking at it. Quit looking at it like the doom and gloomers are looking at it. Look at it from God's perspective. Amen. Things are fixing to pick up around here. Amen. Amen. By the way, that's how Moses made it. Hebrews chapter 11 says Moses forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king. Why? Because he saw him who was invisible. He looked at it from God's perspective. That's how Stephen made it. In Acts chapter number 7, when they're stoning Stephen to death, Stephen wasn't looking at the fellas throwing the rocks. He looked up into heaven, saw the heavens open, and Jesus Christ standing, waiting to receive him in. Amen. Lord, it'd help us get a better perspective. My last thing. Not only God gives us strength, we can be renewed day by day. And these are light afflictions which last only for a moment. But number C, everything we go through has a meaning. Life's not meaningless. That's one thing that really hurts a lot of people today. They've been told, for example, that they came from a tadpole and life is meaningless. They're worthless. And as a matter of fact, I mean, parents sometimes tell their children, you're worthless. Shame on you if you ever say anything like that. Amen. Amen. Look at it here in our verse 7. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment. Look at this phrase. Worketh for us. Worketh for us. Underline that and repeat that and memorize that. Worketh for us. That's what he said. Amen. These troubles that hurt us now are actually helping us in the long run. These things we've got to face now are actually for our benefit. All these things are work. We know that all these things are working together for good. That's what he said. We've got to know that. They're working for us. Matter of fact, notice this, for our light affliction. Affliction, a lot of times, is not something just comes on you. It's something somebody else puts on you. Afflicting you. You remember when Samson was laying in Delilah's lap and the Bible said that she afflicted him. She saw his strength fading away. This is talking about what other people put on us can even be a help to us. Amen. Not just these normal problems that come, but the problems that other people bring our way can even be a blessing to us in the long run. They work for us. Amen. Don't forget that. Affliction worketh, isn't that amazing? Worketh for us. Amen. Amen. You remember when Joseph told his brethren, after all of it was over, he's in Egypt sitting on the throne. His brothers come down, his daddy's died. They come hoping he won't retaliate. Joseph says to them, and I'm going to paraphrase it, Joseph said, yep, you boys afflicted me. And you meant it for evil. But God meant it for good. You know what Joseph was saying? These light afflictions, which are but for a moment, worketh for us. Amen. Amen. And you say, preacher, what does that mean in shoe leather? That means when cancer comes, it's not meaningless. Amen. When troubles come and your heart breaks, it's not meaningless. God's got a purpose behind it all. Your good or somebody else's good. And all for His glory. Amen. Sometimes things happen to us that are to help us be a help to somebody else later. Paul talked about that in the Corinthians. That we've received this ministry of reconciliation. We have been reconciled so that we can help reconcile others. So that we can share in their reconciliation. We might receive affliction that we can help somebody else in their affliction. When financial crises arrive, it's not meaningless. When tragedies of life pile on, when you're brokenhearted, when you're weary in well-doing, when you're battered in the battle, it's not meaningless. That's one of the things that hurts people so much is they feel like, why am I going through this? It seems senseless, right? Seems senseless. It seems useless. It seems worthless. Why has God brought me into this path? Paul's telling us, don't give up hope. Don't faint. And you won't faint if you'll remember there's a meaning behind all this. God's got a purpose. And if we'll just hang on. By the way, if God's got a purpose in it, then that means He's working it all for good. Because here's how it said, Romans 8:28. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God. And this phrase, and to them who are called according to what? His purpose. He's got a purpose letting our heart break. He's got a purpose allowing these troubles to come. God don't make the evil, but He'll use it. Amen. Amen. He may allow it in some degree to come to us and hit us like a ton of bricks, like it did Monday, I'm sure. It could very easily come upon us in a overwhelming state. But we cannot faint if we'll remember our inner man's renewed day by day, even though this outward man's perishing. If we'll remember these are temporary troubles, they're light afflictions that are but for a moment. And if we'll remember, God's got a purpose in it all. Amen. Let's stand to our feet as they come with a song. I'm going to say this by way of conclusion. I'm preaching this to you today, and I want you to preach it to yourself tomorrow. Amen. I'm trying to preach it to you today, and I want you to preach it to yourself tomorrow. I want you to take these truths. Paul preached it to the Corinthians. And his reason for that was so that we can apply it in our own life. These are not just pie-in-the-sky dreams. Well, we can shout and we can rejoice and then we go back to trouble. No, we can go back into the trouble and shout and rejoice right in the midst of that. If we recognize God's got it all under control. He's got a purpose for it all. Heavenly Father, thank you for the Word of God. Thank you, Lord, for the encouragement that you sent to my soul in the study of this. I pray, Lord, that you've sent encouragement to somebody else's soul as I've tried to preach it. Lord, you stirred my emotions and you stirred my memory. You stirred my hope. Lord, I pray you do the same for others. Lord, I pray for the sinner that doesn't have any of these promises. None. The sinner that their only hope is salvation. Because without salvation, they're suffering now and they'll suffer for eternity. But if they'd come to Christ, this trouble that's in their life now can pass away and be a light affliction. But for a moment, your purpose can be worked out. I pray draw sinners to you. Help saints, dear God, to draw closer to you. And Lord, help us to apply that day by day strengthening. Our Bible reading, our prayer time, our walk with God, our church going, our fellowship with thee, help us to renew that inner man on a day-by-day basis that we can stand strong and having done all stand for the glory of God. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. We're going to sing a verse or two of a song. Maybe you need to come pray. I want to give you opportunity to do so. Would you mind the Lord? Would you mind the Lord?
163.
Let's sing it together. If the Lord spoke to you, you need to come.